Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. Every Wednesday, Mark and Kim, along with their special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark and Kim will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark and Kim are tested, certified, and professional spiritual mediums, metaphysical teachers, healers, and spiritual advisors with their own individual spiritual practices in Seattle, Washington, and Los Angeles, California. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be in this beautiful, amazing, wonderful planet of ours. This is Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim here on the Om Times Radio Network. I am your host, Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector, coming to you live from my studio here in Seattle, Washington, the beautiful Pacific Northwest. I hope that you've been out enjoying this amazing summer of ours, getting out and enjoying the nice weather, community, getting out and maybe doing a little swimming as we are entering the last week of August and getting ready to move into the Labor Day weekend here in the United States. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. If you're joining us for the live show, we always say hello to our inspired listeners around the globe. Thank you so much for being a part of this community, being a part of this show. And again, if you want to interact with the show, this is an interactive show, even though it'll go to podcast after the live show is over. You can always call into the Om Times Radio call-in line, which is 202-570-7050. We will be opening the phone lines in the second half of the show in relation to the today's show topic. And you can also go to our Facebook page, which is called Inspired Living Radio. It is a closed community page. Ask to become a community member, and you can also post your question there if you don't want to come live on the radio with us. No problem. But we like to bring questions that we get either on our Facebook page or if you call in. We'd love to have interaction with our inspired listeners because we like to say you are the inspired in the inspiration. So today we're going to have a fantastic topic about man fast, about what fasting looks like, especially from a man fast perspective. We're going to be having our guest come on here in just a second. Natasha Scripture is an author. She's a poet. She's humanitarian. So we have that in common, which I love about her. And she's a former aid worker. And we're going to do a little bit more details of why she wrote this book called Man Fast and talk about spiritual awakening and something that you might be very interested in. But before we do that, let's jump into some of the details about how you can interact with the show, how you can interact with myself or my co-host, Kim Thalken, who is maybe going to join us a little bit later in the show. She is moved to California officially on the West Coast now. So you can find her at lovefirst.info with her practice back in Encino, California now. She's been spending the last few weeks traveling, getting her house packed up and moving from Virginia back to California. So it's good to have Kim back on the West Coast. And if you want to work with me, you can always find my work at marklanehart.com. Internet search the Intuitive Prospector. I'd love to do a little spiritual prospecting for your own spiritual gold. You can also find me every Monday morning for Metaphysical Mocha Mondays, which is my Facebook and YouTube live show where I interact with you, give you some inspiration for the week ahead, followed by the Healing Cafe, which is Q&A and direct conversations with me on my Facebook page, Intuitive Prospector. So make sure to check that out every Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And with that, if you want to follow the show, you can follow us through a couple different ways. Like I said, Facebook is our main page. You can go to Inspired Living Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under the handle Inspired For Us. That is the number 4. And again, once the live show is over, our podcast will be available on iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud, Podbean, all the major outlets, including lovefirst.info and marklanehart.com. And of course, you can find all of our past 4 seasons of Inspired Living Radio in our 70 plus episodes now over on Om Times Radio Archives. If you have any questions for today, please call into the line 202-570-7057. Second half, we will open up those phone lines and, again, any of our social media pages. With that, we always have a positive affirmation that we like to remind people. And this month, I've been talking about ask, believe, receive. Whether it's what you want in life, whether it's your own intentions for what you want to receive, ask, believe, receive. And that is your inspired affirmation for this month. And with that, let's jump into the show because it goes by so very quickly. We'll have our first break here in about 10 minutes. And let's have some fun with our special guest. So Natasha Scripture, she wrote this book called Manifest. And again, despite the pressures from her wonderful but overbearing Indian mother to find a man and settle down, Natasha Scripture wasn't ready to get married, nor did she want to work in an office pushing papers. Boy, do I know that. I know if Kim was here, she would say that as well. She wanted an exciting, globe-trotting career. So when she landed her dream job as an aid worker for the United Nations, her addiction to adrenaline fear of committing to one place, one person, was with her for the ride. But it all took a turn when her father became ill and she made the choice to remove herself from the front lines, taking a job at UN headquarters in New York to be closer to him. At the age of 38, Natasha finds herself at a draining desk job, burned out from dating and shaking by the loss of her father. Becoming increasingly aware of time and seeing the other single, childless, 40-something-year-old women surrounding her in her field, she realized it's time for a change. She had noticed that while she was traveling the globe pursuing a relationship with humankind, and that's what I love, pursuing that relationship with humankind, she had forgotten about one of the most important relationships, the one with herself. In this book, it's an adventurous, emotionally charged memoir from her called Man Fast. It was released in June, so you can get it in hard copy, paperback, in audio as well, now that we're a few months past her release date. And again, it was her recognizing her privileged upbringing. Natasha finally wanted to connect with people and the world in a whole new way. And that's what this book is all about. We're going to be bringing her on. Again, if you want to learn more about Natasha Scripture's work, she's an author, poet, humanitarian, and former aid worker. Again, spokesperson for the United Nations. She's covered humanitarian crises around the world. Before the UN, she worked for a variety of organizations, including the BBC, CNN, Al Jazeera English, the World Bank, TED, National Geographic, and several other publications. So she has seen a lot. She's also been published in the New York Times, The Telegraph, Glamour UK, The Sydney Morning Herald, Huffington Post, New York Post, and The Atlantic, among other publications, and has been featured in Marie Claire, Women's Health, and the Sunday Times Style magazine. Natasha has lived in several countries, travels frequently, and seeks to inspire and empower women everywhere with her writing and storytelling. You can find more about her at natashascripture.com. And with that, Natasha, welcome to Inspired Living Radio. We're ready to hear your story and get a little inspiration along the way.
Great. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, welcome. Welcome. Let us know a little bit more about read a brief bio, but let's dive into this this memoir that you wrote about Man Fast, because some people, the women might be listening going, yeah, I totally understand. And the men might be listening going, what does she mean? So let's talk about the book that just came out in June. And congratulations. I know it's always a labor of love to get that first, get that book out there and get it written and tell your story. But tell us about Man Fast and how that started to come through.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a labor of love, but, it's done in so many ways. I can say this to you because you have a spiritual audience, but I do feel like the book was divinely inspired. I actually wrote it while I was on this journey, which I call a man fast. What is a man fast? My elevator pitch is a spiritual detox from dating, right? But I also describe it as a 9-month self-expansion project that I went on. So it was a real process of self-excavation. Like you mentioned, I was an aid worker and I was just jumping from place to place, emergency to emergency. And like a lot of my colleagues in that field, you never really stop and process what you've seen or what you've experienced. There's a lot of collective grief on the ground, in Haiti after the earthquake, or as in Pakistan during the floods, and Ethiopia during the famine. And I just, at a certain point, I guess you could call it my midlife crisis, I just really wanted to take some time and retreat into myself, and I didn't feel like New York City was a place that I could do that, right? And I also wanted to live in a more mindful way, and I wanted to see what that looked like for me. So that's kind of how the journey began, and as you mentioned, yes, in so many ways, I think the title's a little, it's catchy, but it could be a little bit of a misnomer because it's not just about detoxing from dating. It's about processing grief. As you mentioned, I lost my father. It was a kind of a journey of consciousness, you know, learning to live with a deeper awareness, being more connected to myself, having more reverence for nature and really recognizing abundance in my life, and having gratitude for that, which is something that we are notoriously bad at, all of us usually, at least I was. So, yeah, so that's kind of how the journey started. And it was 9 months, so I like to kind of compare it to a rebirth, like I was rebirthing myself. Yeah. And as you mentioned, I have this lovely but very involved Indian mother who had an obsession with me getting married and settling down, because it's very important in South Asia to do that. In many parts of South Asia. And so part of me going on this detox was like, you know what, I want to just accept that I am whole and happy as a single woman, and I don't need to have all these cultural pressures kind of making me feel anxious every day. I kind of wanted to just escape from all of that. So, of course, then I went to India, where I was like right around me. But
well, and you're right, because I actually have two friends and colleagues that have been in arranged marriages based on the culture, based on the belief system, based on, you know, having to conform to that type of, you know, philosophy. And they're happy and they have children. But just, you know, it makes you wonder when you're, you know, in arranged marriage or you're forced to do something, do you really discover your true self? Because, you know, you move into a relationship, you have children, and in that process, you may lose yourself based on that relationship. So I commend you on taking that 9 month journey, which, by the way, the 9 in numerology means completion. If we were to study and talk about numerology numbers. So it's not only just the 9 months of rebirthing yourself, it's the the number 9 is also completion of moving from, you know, in a sense, you've moved from the caterpillar to the butterfly, but you had to go through that 9 month cocoon phase of transformation and that spiritual awakening that a lot of us go through. And I can relate to your background because I work for a small company myself out of New York City called ESPN. And I thought it was my dream job and kind of that same thing, you know, kind of stuck in, you know, cubicle world and not exploring the world. And, you know, of course, my own personal traumas and tragedies as well. And, you know, the loss of your father really changes your belief system, right? How you think of the world, death and dying. But I can tell you he's very much along with you still on this soul adventure. And those that we lose in the physical journey just become part of our spiritual journey in the unseen world. So he's very much still a part of your path and very much a big cheerleader for what you're doing. So we're going to be taking our first break here in just a few minutes. But as far as when I first got the book, I kind of had that same thing. I'm like, man fast? Well, what does that mean? So, but as I read the journey and as I read the story that you know, put from your mind down to paper, it is. It's an exhilarating memoir about you globetrotting, your different journeys, different perspectives, meeting different people. I always say travel changes you, travel transforms you. And again, it was an inspiring awakening and self-discovery for you. So let's talk about that before our first break, and then we come back after our first break. We'll start to get into some more in-depth on the chapters and, you know, just kind of explore and prospect and see what comes out from this. But tell us just a little bit more about this self-discovery and this globetrotting that you did. And what are some of your favorite connection points?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think for a lot of us, we get so busy in our day-to-day lives. I think I was, I know that I was an overachiever, a very accomplishment oriented, and most women, also men, but I'm just speaking for women right now, they often forget to take the time to really meet themselves. And so what I was seeing in New York City, and I was a part of that, is that you just become a part of this pseudo collective trance, and we're sort of frantically active in a way that swallows up the existence of a meaningful inner life, right?
Mind,
because
mind
you're
thing.
Just trying to make ends meet, right? It's just, it's expensive, right. You know, and then there's so much exciting stuff to do in New York City, right? And there's so many invitations. And so for me, I think there's this term in Japanese called yutori, and it translates to spaciousness. And that was what I was seeking. So everywhere I went during these 9 months, and I hadn't planned any of it in advance, and I was had this great contract which allowed me to work remotely because so I could finance my travels. Not that I lived pretty modestly while I was traveling, but I wanted space. So anywhere where there was space and nature, I was drawn to, right? So I kick it off in India, which of course is my mom's homeland, and then I have connections there in terms of like where I can stay, and it's hot. And it was a New York City winter when I left, so it's like hot, free, and spiritual. So I'm like, yes, India. But I went to Kerala where I started to study Ayurveda when I was in New York City, and I wanted to deepen my understanding of Ayurveda, which is a 5,000-year-old ancient health and healing system from India, which involves contemplative practice and structured nutrition and all of that. I don't know, you might have heard of the doshas, the vata, pitta, kapha. Anyway, it's very complex, but also intuitive in some ways, system in terms of like how we should live our lives. And there's a lot of mindfulness involved in that. So I immersed myself in that in the jungles of Kerala. And that was, I really wanted to tend to my body because I really see our bodies as being so important. They're the thrones of our souls. So if we want to do some real inner work, I, you know, in New York City, I was drinking dirty martinis and pounding the pavement, commuting from Brooklyn. I just didn't have, I didn't feel like my body.
The city that never sleeps, concrete city.
Yeah, it never sleeps. And, you know, there's a lot of pollution and just, you know, just in terms of diet and, you know, no one has a big kitchen in New York City. So I, you know, I eat out and you order in. So this was just a way of me like eating really healthy, freshly cooked food and meditating every day, you know, surrounded by palm trees on the beach. I mean, all of it's very divine, actually. I know it sounds indulgent, but, you know, we have to take care of our bodies. And sometimes we don't even pay attention to our bodies until it's too late, until, you know, we get cancer or something terrible happens, something else terrible happens, right? So that was how I really wanted to focus on that and then work outwards to the other parts, so emotion. And like I said, there was a lot of grief that I was working through. I think, you know, grief is a gift in so many ways. I couldn't see that then, but it really breaks you open and it gets to the core of you. And so it like deepens you.
Yeah, let's pause right there. Let's go to our first break. I want to come back and I want to talk about, I want to explore about honoring your grief because I think that's very important on the spiritual awakening. So we're going to come back here in 2 minutes. Keep listening in. We have our special guest today, Natasha Scripture, talking about her book, Manifest. This is Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim. We'll be back in 2 minutes. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you seeking answers to life questions? Would you like to connect to a departed loved one? Are you suffering from pain, stress, or anxiety? Kimberly Thalkin is a tested, certified, and professional psychic, spiritual medium, energy healer, hypnotherapist, and the founder of Love First, where life transformations happen. Love First services support, guide, and empower individuals by connecting them to their highest potential to live a healthier, joyful, and meaningful life that's filled with purpose. All services can be done by phone, Skype, or in person in Encino, California. Please visit lovefirst.info. That's LOVEFIRST.info for more information.
For those times when you're looking for insight and additional tools to living your most elevated life, there's no better place to turn than Intuitive Alchemy Radio. Join me, Laura Brown, each Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations, live on-the-air readings, and tools to help you build your most aligned, most abundant, and most delicious life.
Death Row Dogs Rescue is a 100% all-volunteer, no-kill rescue 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are run solely by volunteers who dedicate their time and resources for the past 30 years to rescuing homeless pets from the streets in Los Angeles and surrounding areas, and from city and county animal shelters who are on death row, often moments away from being euthanized. We provide housing, medical care, and training to these neglected, abused, and often severely injured animals. Donate now, save a life, and allow these beautiful dogs to experience a home life filled with love. All donations are greatly appreciated and are tax deductible. Please visit www.deathrowdogsrescue.com to see some of our amazing dogs who need homes. Do not breed or buy. Make adoption your first option.
And welcome back to Inspired Living Radio. Our special guest today, Natasha Scripture, talking about her book that just came out in June, a memoir called Man Fast. And right before the break there, you were talking, Natasha, about honoring or going through the grieving process. And I know in chapter one, it talks about allowing. And there's a quote from Natalie Goldberg that says, "Don't stop at the tears. Go through the truth." And I find that to be very, very true for the spiritual journey, for the spiritual awakening, and honoring your grief. So let's pick it back up where we were just talking about before the break, and let's talk about honoring your grief, accepting your grief, and allowing the grief to flow as part of the journey.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, what maybe they don't, some people don't understand about grief is that there's no right or wrong way to do it, right? It's not, the process of healing or of grieving isn't linear, right? It's very, very individual. I look at my brother and I, and we've just experienced it on our own timelines, and we've acted in different ways. And so I think, you know, if any of your listeners out there are grieving, it's just accepting that you are where you are, right? And you can't compare to anybody else. So, you know, sometimes they say they're the five stages of grief. I don't think mine felt necessarily in line with that. Like, I didn't deny, you know, that my dad passed away. So it might resonate for others. But for me, it was just like really allowing myself to just unfold as well. And that was a big part of it. And that's why I was looking for space, because, you know, in New York City, I could not let myself kind of crumble and let go. I had so many things that I was juggling, so many pieces that were up in the air, right? And that's often why we don't let ourselves feel what we need to feel, because we don't have the luxury of letting go of all these other things, like people, especially with children and other, you know, significant responsibilities. So, I mean, that was one of the things I wanted to share about grief that I learned. And also, I think that, I mean, upon reflection, you know, after I went through all of this, I knew that I needed a partner who had actually grieved in a real way. And of course, we've all grieved, but like the loss of someone that you love, because, you know, that allows you to go really to the depths and back. And I wanted to be with someone who could even reach those depths. I think until you feel that kind of tragic loss, there's a certain threshold, you don't go beyond a certain place. But when you just plummet into this deep, dark place. But then when we come back after tragedy, we're just so much richer and layered and wise. And that's, and I did end up meeting someone like that. And it was important to me, because it would be hard to connect with someone who actually hadn't been to those depths. You know, I'm all about embracing darkness now. And when we try to, you know, deny it and we try to push it away, but when we accept our dark parts, instead of acting like everything is okay, when we say, "I have shame, I have grief," that's healthy.
Yeah, very healthy. In fact, I just did a podcast just a few weeks ago, a two-part series about honoring your grief from a man's perspective, because even as a man, we're not always so sensitive or open to our emotions. Women tend to be a little bit more open and connected to their emotions and feelings, and guys not so much. So death can, you know, death and dying can really impact, you know, it impacts everybody differently. But the one thing I learned from the journey of what you're talking about is the grieving is something that's internal. And the mourning, you know, when you mourn somebody, that's the external process of honoring, like you said, the allowing. And even kind of your global trend-setting adventures that you took was a sense of honoring your father and the mourning process that you go through. Because when you lose somebody, it never leaves you. You grow around that trauma, that tragedy, that loss, and it becomes part of that spiritual path. And I know in the book you talked about transcending. I love that quote from Anais Nin that talks about life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage. And I found that to be very true. And honoring your grief takes courage. And to honor and find that vulnerability and to surrender to that. So where do you feel that you're at now that you've honored that, your own grieving, and you've wrote this book, which, again, congratulations, it's not an easy thing to do to write a book for all you writers out there. I'm still working on my book 2 years later. But how do you feel now with the loss of your father and getting out of New York City and where you're at in life now? What would you tell our inspired listeners?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I mean, I think you never, I'll always be sad. Like, not, it's not like I'm sad every day, but you never get over something like that, as you know, right? Mm-hmm. So, but I think when I look back on the man fast that I was on, it was so liberating in so many ways. I spent a lot of time alone and I got lost, right? But on purpose, right? And it was Thoreau who said, it's not until we lose ourselves that we begin to understand ourselves, right? So now I'm in a very different place in life. I'm not globetrotting anymore. I just had my first baby 7 weeks ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I have a little girl. I'm engaged. I live with someone. I'm based in Washington, D.C. I'm not gallivanting from Tanzania to Sicily. So it's a different life. Mm-hmm. And it's not better or worse. I mean, it's amazing because, as you know, if you read my book, you would have noticed that I really had this longing for a child, and I felt like I was running out of time. Of course, mm-hmm. you know, I met someone when I really had gotten to the point where I just gave up, but gave up not in a negative, sad, cynical way, but it was just like I surrendered and I just sort of let go. And it's really, and it's funny because when people tell you this, it's like, no, but how do I do that? Like, because you can't actually fake, pretend, you know, let go. You can't try to trick the universe. I really got to this place after my man fast where I was like, you know what? I've lived all this. I feel so whole and like so grateful for everything that I have. I feel like I've been living with courage, to use the word that you mentioned, which is a word that I love because cor comes from the Latin root, which means heart, right? So mm-hmm. when you're courageous, it means you're living with heart. So I feel exactly. like I've been living with heart. And also, I just want to add, a lot of the places that I was drawn to besides spaciousness were in nature. And I think that nature is just our greatest healer. It's where I feel like I can commune the most with God or the universe or whatever you want to call it. But it's where I feel the most awake, where I feel like my consciousness rises. And, you know, my dad was a big nature lover, and that subconsciously might have been why I decided to go like work on a farm in Sicily or you know, go off into a large game reserve in southern Tanzania. So all these places were just kind of empty of humans and just, you know, I was surrounded by nature. And that just helps with my meditation practice and everything. So where I am today is I try to continue to cultivate what I learned. It's actually harder when you have a day-to-day life and, you know, crying baby, et cetera. You know, it's luxurious what I was able to do to take off for 9 months and, you know, have that space, but it's not impossible. You just have to know that every day you've got to, you know, have that commitment to doing the work, right? Because self-work is daily work. We're never done.
Yeah, you gotta walk the walk and talk the talk. And I love, you know, not all those who wander are lost, right? And I love the connection to nature. It's a very big part of my own path, and even why I'm having, you know, this conversation with you today live on the air for our listeners all around the planet. I always remind people that nature is our greatest healer, nature's our greatest teacher, nature's our greatest engineer, and nature always seems to get it done in her own time. She's not in a hurry to get things done. That's just the human way, especially if you're in New York City or even Washington, D.C. But I just remind people right. that, you know, healing, getting out in nature, even if you can't get out in nature, bring nature into you, whether it's through a power of meditation, getting on YouTube and having a visual, you know, a display of trees or the ocean. Nature, you know, in a sense, saved my life from, you know, the depression, anxiety that I went through in my own journey and honoring my own grief. And, you know, one of the things that I always remind people is take the time to disconnect, so that you have the time to reconnect to self, reconnect to your higher self, you connect to your dad, connect to those in the spirit world, and connect to nature. And that's why, you know, in this day and age, especially in New York City or Washington, D.C., or even here in Seattle, Washington, a lot of people don't get it because they're so busy trying to keep up with the Joneses, social media, 24-hour news, the next best thing, and they're missing the connection piece. And that's why we have a lot of what I call disease, which is also disease that, you know, people talk about. So in a sense, Natasha, you're fasting, you know, you're engaged now, you have a beautiful baby girl, your fasting in a sense is over. It's over in this phase of your life, but there's always the next phase, right? There's always that next thing to life. And one of the things I wanted to talk about for our listening audience is talking about in your book, you talked about in the early part of the book, you had made mention about stepping out of privilege and into suffering. And some people may hear that and say, well, why in the heck would you? There's enough suffering going on in this world today, especially right now. Why would somebody choose to have more suffering, especially if they've had a privileged life like you talk about in the book?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to explain why I wanted that. It's almost like we want – suffering is essential to evolution. It's essential to feeling whole and complete. There's a certain emptiness to living life in a limited way so that we don't suffer, like people who are afraid of love because they don't want to experience heartache, right? I wanted to experience the full gamut, and I think there was a certain guilt, like growing up, you know, in a way with loving parents and private school and all that stuff, and I had been – going to India my whole life from, I think I was 6 months old, the first trip I took with my parents, obviously, and I've been exposed to poverty. And so when you grow up seeing it and seeing, you know, and understanding and asking about why there are children living in the street, in the alley, eating food off the street, it becomes a part of your, you know, just who you are. And like, I just wanted to give back. I know that sounds really cliche. And I wanted to see the other side. And I think that was why I was drawn to the UN, to humanitarian work, is that I wanted to try to save people, which sounds extremely naive because I have a very different perspective on all of that now. But that was kind of where I was at in terms of wanting to experience suffering. And now, of course, I have experienced it my own, but also, you know, the collective pain I mentioned before, it's, you know, you can't experience someone, you know, meet someone who's lost their family or their home because of an earthquake and not feel that pain, right? We're empathic beings.
Empathic, yeah.
So I think that these challenges, when we have grief, whether it's our own or we have heartache or see somebody's heartache, experience it, it's all spiritual compost, right? It's all fertilizer for our growth. And it makes us become our most inspiring selves, if that's what we're talking about, inspiration. Like, all of this feeds into something else. Everything we experience, like, now when I talk to girlfriends who are going through heartache, and I know because I've been there, you know, I write about it in the book, I'm just like, you know, this too shall pass, but you will see this is going to be, like, so pivotal and so poignant in your life. It's going to change you. It's going to help you make better choices. It's going to deepen you, right? So I think suffering, in a way, it's a teacher, you know, it's like the Buddhists believe, you know, suffering is our teacher, darkness is our teacher, right? I really do believe in that. So I don't shut it out when it comes. I understand that every day there's darkness, there's light, some days are better than others. But, you know, I do constantly believe that having love and gratitude for everything in our lives is the path, right? You know, everything on our path, you have to love it, and that is should be the path, because that's your unique life, the destiny that you're creating.
Yeah, exactly. The attitude for gratitude that I like to talk about. And, you know, I always remind people that, you know, if you want to find that diamond within, there, if there's no pressure, there's no diamond. And if you want to remain the piece of charcoal, that's fine. You know, ignorance is bliss, as the old saying goes. But even in your book, you talked about the African proverb that I've used several times, the one who asks questions doesn't lose his way. And there's truth to that, asking lots of questions and going out and being part of the UN like you were, you gain perspective. And, you know, that perspective increases your empathy, increases your connection to understanding other people's suffering. So in a sense, you went out and sought after suffering to just also get a better understanding of yourself, but also the world around you. And perspective is very, very important to, you know, because we're all here to learn, right? I always say that life is an acronym for learn it from experience. And the best way to do that is to walk in those shoes and then have empathy for somebody else that's, you know, maybe lost their father or maybe had their house burned down. You know, I'm a retired firefighter, so I was always called for the first half of my life. I was always called to other people's tragedies and traumas. So I've seen what the world offers, and it gives me a completely different perspective. And I'm right in that same category with you as attitude for gratitude, embracing the suffering as part of the spiritual path, but also, you know, not losing my way and asking lots of questions along the way. So before we go to our first break, Natasha, here just in a minute or so, where's the best way for people to connect with you? Because we always, for our guests, we always want to promote the book or whatever workshops they're doing or whatever events you have coming up. What's the best way to get in contact with you?
Okay, great. Thanks for asking. Well, people can find me on Twitter at NatScript or on Instagram at Natasha Scripture. I also have a website, www.natashascripture.com. And if you go through the contact to the contact tab, you can send me a message and I'll get back to you. So I think those are the best ways to contact me. I haven't been using social media excessively the last few weeks because of my new baby, but I will get back to you eventually. Yeah, thanks for asking.
And best place to get the book, all the major outlets?
Oh, yeah, the book, which is called Man Fast, a memoir, is available on Amazon.com. There's also a UK version that came out last year, which is slightly different cover, and that's on Amazon UK and on Waterstones. But I would probably encourage you to buy the US version, which is kind of new and better. So yeah, Amazon's probably the best place to buy it. It's in some bookstores, not all bookstores, but
online. You gotta let it grow, right? Like the tree, the seedling doesn't become the tree without growth and patience. And I imagine 10 years from now, we'll see this being transferred into a different language around the world. So with that, we're gonna go to our second and last break. It was already translated. Okay, well, there you go. We'll just see it grow even more and more popular. So we're going to go to our second break, and we'll be back with our special guest today, Natasha Scripture, talking about her memoir, Man Fast. This is Inspired Living Radio. We'll be back in two.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
One planet, 7.3 billion people, only one you. Life offers us many opportunities and learning experiences. Are you ready to explore and discover this beautiful planet, the life and energy all around us, the spiritual world, and what is unseen, along with your own personal soul adventure? Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector, is the spiritual connection you have been prospecting for. Internationally known as a tested and professional clairvoyant medium and spiritual advisor, Mark's work as a metaphysical teacher, medical instructor, radio show host, inspirational writer, and hiking guide are here to help you on a journey of self-discovery, healing, inspiration, education, and a whole lot of spiritual awesomeness. Dare to dream. Dare to explore. Dare to live. For more information on Mark's spiritual practice in Seattle, Washington, please visit marklanehart.com or internet search The Intuitive Prospector.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Hey, Inspired listeners, welcome back to Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim here on the Om Times Radio Network. You are the inspired and the inspiration. Our very special guest today calling in live from, I take it you're still in D.C., Natasha? Natasha Scripture and about her book, Man Fast.
Yes, I am. I'm in Washington right
okay.
now.
Okay, you know, like I said, you travel the world, so you never know where in the world is Natasha Scripture, right? But thank you for calling in and joining the live show today. And, you know, one of the quotes in the book that you talked about, because I'm going to get a little bit more into the book in the last section of the show here. You talked to one of my favorite quotes, and I use Joseph Campbell a lot for my own journey, talking about you must give up the life you planned in order to have the life that is waiting for you. Very similar to the cave you fear holds the treasure you seek. And a lot of people are caught up in fear-based energy or failure, which for me is a reminder of fear is false evidence appearing real, and failure is first attempt in learning. So fail often, fail big, and have no fear. In the book, you had put together a humor list on disqualifications. Because for some of our listeners, they're saying, oh, the title's called Man Fast. What does that actually mean? And you used this list or disqualifications for men you went on dates with, and you talked about many women having that fear. Again, we're talking about fear, false evidence appearing real, settling for someone, and others, you know, overlook potential red flags. Do you think there is a happy medium when it comes to the dating now that you are engaged and you have a baby girl, and for all of our women listeners out there, and the fear of dating?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I was afraid of dating. I was more exasperated by the men that I had come across. And I think a lot of women can identify with that. And of course, a lot of men. And I want to just mention that men experience all these feelings as well. I've had a lot of men reach out to me who read my book. They're not my target audience, but they felt like they relate to all of this. Both genders go through it. Both of us, but we struggle. We want to meet someone, and we have this ideal in our heads, and we have these expectations, and that can be dangerous. Of course, there's a middle way. I mean, the Buddhists call it the middle way, right? There is moderation, or a more balanced approach. And I think in that list that you mentioned, which is pretty humorous, as you know, I was at that point where I don't think I was open to love because I've had so many negative experiences. I was kind of jaded. So I didn't want to be that typical cynical older woman living in New York who was jaded, right? It was just such a cliche. And so you mentioned Joseph Campbell. I mean, I really consider the Man Fast, my book, as a heroine's journey, right? And people, as you mentioned, are afraid of transformation. But the thing is that transformation is our nature, right? Change is fundamental. If we want to live, mm-hmm. Have a more expansive vision of ourselves, of our lives, we have to have change and transformation, right? You can't have one without the other. So, but the thing about giving up men, it's ultimately, we're looking for the one. We read Plato's Symposium. We think we're all, halves looking for other halves. But it's not like that. It's what I really concluded is that there is no one, right? You're the one. I'm the one. Like, at the end, I was like, spoiler alert, I'm crying on the beach and I'm like, oh my God. And it's not crying out of grief or sadness, but out of real gratitude. And this recognition is that I'm the one I've been waiting for. There's no one outside of myself. Sure, I can find a companion, which is what ultimately happened, who will help me who will support my path and vice versa, right? Who can share mm-hmm. a vision of the life we want to live together. But we're born alone and we die alone. So, to put all of this energy in finding someone who's going to complete us is just a recipe for disaster. And that's what I was doing, right before I went on the man fast.
Yeah, exactly. And it's that old saying that the only thing consistent in life is change. I always say, keep up with the waves of change or you find yourself underneath them. And that's the place you don't want to be. And that relationship is developed with yourself. So with that said, now that you are in a healthy relationship and you are engaged to be married, congratulations, and you have your first child, do you think you've been ready for this change or this transformation or this cocoon phase of the caterpillar becoming the butterfly if you had not had the experiences that you talk about in your book?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I needed to do this before I met somebody and was really available and ready and open and was in a healthy place. And I think a lot of us get out of relationships and then we don't take that time, that space to be alone with ourselves. I think it's so essential. A lot of people just jump from relationship to relationship, and I instead went inward. And so when I met my partner, I was in a place where I actually wasn't looking for anybody, and I was actually happy and whole on my own. And I'd filled up my life so much with so much other stuff, like creative pursuits and community and my spiritual practices, that I almost didn't even have space for him. I had to really carve out space. He's like, do you want to go out? I'm like, well, I'm pretty busy. And I'm like, this is crazy. But that was kind of what drove, this journey in so many ways, was how to make my life feel so full that I don't feel a lack, in the absence of a romantic partner. And I do feel like I succeeded in feeling that way. And of course, when I felt whole and complete, that's when I manifested someone. It's just, that's the way it happens, right? And but it has to be authentic.
Yeah, very much so. That authentic path, finding your authentic self. And, it is a process. It's, I always remind people to have trust and patience for the spiritual journey, especially with humans, because humans want it right now. We're very on demand. Maybe technology doesn't help that. You can order your latest meal or get your, latest thing, get your book delivered. Somebody's listening to the show right now, getting on and ordering your book and going to have it delivered via drone, via Amazon in the next 24 hours. So it's that instant gratification. And with the spiritual journey, taking that time to unfold, to take that 9 months that you describe in your book and chronicle the different challenges, but also listening and moving into that silence. Because I remind our listeners that the word silent listen is an anagram. You switch those around, same amount of letters, but two completely different meanings. And I, for our listening audience, I would challenge you, are you listening? Are you listening to your higher self? Are you listening to that calling within your heart to go out and to go to new places and gain a perspective and to travel and to meet new people and, in a sense, go out and embrace the suffering that's around all of us, because in the end, it's how that seedling becomes this great majestic oak. And what's the saying? From mighty oaks, acorns fall or come. So where do you feel that you're at now as far as, with the book being written, being a mother, getting, ready to be married now that the fasting is over? What would you share with the listening audience that people would take away some of the gold nuggets or diamonds within this book based on your experiences and your storytelling?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for asking. Well, I mean, one of the things I really want to get across is that ultimately all of this work is about getting in touch with our inner guru, right? There is what bothers me is that we're always running off to the next retreat center, and I was doing this, right? Esalen or Kripalu or Omega, and going to these self-help workshops. And, we really have to be discerning of external teachers. Of course, there's wisdom there. There's wisdom in all these books that we buy, but ultimately, it's wisdom that we already have inside ourselves. So instead of going and buying another book or signing up for another workshop or buying my book, forget all of that. My publisher is probably going to say, why are you doing that? But really, just go inside yourself. Just sit, you mentioned silence, like connect with yourself. that is where you will tap into the wisdom. And it might not happen in 5 minutes, right? It could be days, weeks of practice, right? But with that commitment, because, you know, without any sense of connection to something deep inside ourselves, we become desperate for other things to fill us up, right? And so, and those, some of those things are healthy, some of them aren't, you know, relationships, jobs, we become fixated on our looks, our appearance, our weight. Maybe some people turn to drugs and alcohol. I don't know, but I always say, if you can get in touch with your inner guru, then you're good, you're safe, you know, you're on your path. And it's daily work, as I mentioned. And the other thing that I would like to share is that we don't love ourselves, right? There is such a lack of self-love. We always focus on romantic love, but self-love is like the predecessor. Like, you cannot love someone else if you don't love yourself, right? And the Buddha said, you yourself, as much as anyone in the entire universe, deserve your love and attention. And often we don't feel like we deserve that, right? We're willing to love our friends and give them great compassionate advice when they're sad and upset, or when they've made a mistake. But when we do it ourselves, we're so hard on ourselves. So I would encourage people to work on ways in which they can cultivate self-love, because that is also just hugely transformational. And it's important to any type of evolution we want to do, any type of real love we want to experience. Of course, now I have this baby and it's this otherworldly love. I mean, stay tuned for the next book, but which probably won't come out for a while, but you know, just it's a different kind of love, right? But I think I got so much of this out of my system, and I was so ready for her that I feel hope I will be the best mom that I can be, right? Which is all that really matters to me right now.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, you said earlier in the show about mindfulness and how important that is. One of my favorite quotes comes from Abraham Lincoln, that talks about, you know, the best part about our future is that it comes one day at a time. And a lot of people, you know, even listeners of the show are thinking about, well, what does my future hold? You know, but I always remind people that your imagination creates your future. Your memories create your past. Neither one is real. It's about the magic in the moment. I know you talked about in the book about surrendering and the quote from Emily Dickinson that talked about forever is compromised of nows. Where is that magic in the moment of where you're at right now? Or, you know, doing the radio show, Inspired Living Radio, and connecting with people in the magic of the moment versus about, you know, am I going to be a good mom in the future, or, you know, written this book from my past experiences. So that's part of that, you know, understanding that self-love that you were just referring to and getting out of that self-sabotage, because I found even in my own journey, when I'm thinking about the future, it never really comes to fruition of how we think it's going to be, or the old adage that, you know, expectations usually lead us to self-disappointments, right? So with that, where do you see this book going? Now, before the break, we talked about, you said it has been transcribed into another language. Did I get that correct, or did I miss that?
It's been translated into Korean, and we're hoping we will have, apparently, yeah. Women in Korea are fed up with men, so we'll get it translated into some other languages. But, you know, just going back to what you said about self-sabotage, I mean, there's such a fixation in our culture about perfection, and again, I just think the Japanese, mm-hmm. is such a rich culture, but they have a concept called wabi-sabi, which is all about accepting imperfection. They embrace imperfection. So they see the beauty in it, like even in a painting that's imperfect. And like, you know, if your teeth are not perfect, it's like, but that makes you unique and that's and different. And I just think that I don't think we should put our time and energy towards being perfect, but towards being the best person that we can be in the moment, right? And if we fall off that wagon and we make mistakes, as we all do, we just get back up and we start again. It's kind of like we're walking this tightrope, right? And some days mm-hmm. we'll just fall off, right? Sometimes we'll have a gallon of wine the night before, and then the next day we just can't do anything, you know? we can't function, but then there's another day, right? And it's just, they all add up, It's like living in that kind of living the questions with abandon, because that's another thing you talked about, you know, living kind of with curiosity and questioning. I think that is so important. And I quote this Polish poet, Wisława Szymborska, who I don't think I'm pronouncing her name right. But anyway, she said, whatever inspiration is, is born from a continuous I don't know. And that's something none of us know. We don't know anything, right? And there's something very humbling about accepting that. But once we accept that, so much, there's so much open, so much comes to us when we're not rigid with our ideals. And this is why I'm not a big fan of religion, organized structure religion, because it's like nobody knows. You don't know, you know, whatever you're reading in the Bible or anything. It's just like there's no proof of any of it, right? The only proof is what we feel when we're in that those silent moments alone with ourselves, and we feel that connection to God.
Yeah, exactly. And it's that, you know, you're talking about the Japanese culture, you know, fall down 7 times, stand up 8. And, you know, the only person we should ever be in competition with is ourselves. That's a big part of the spiritual journey. And I was before we close here, you know, I just realized I take it Mark is your dad, Mark Rowland scripture.
Yeah.
Yeah, in loving memory of him. So we'll dedicate this show to him because that was, I'm sure, a big part of how you wrote this book and how you came to be on Inspired Living Radio today. So we'll dedicate that to him. And his name is Mark. And I didn't know that until I actually opened the book in the very beginning and said, oh, wow, his name is Mark too. So with that, Natasha, I just want to thank you for being on today's show. What inspires you real quick? What or who inspires you before we wrap up?
Oh, wow. I don't know. I mean, I am inspired by the people that I, you know, that I've seen in the field who've experienced like the worst hardship you can imagine, survivors of earthquake, famine. I'm inspired by these warriors and these survivors, a lot of women, refugees that I've met who are kind and generous and giving and open in spite of everything they've gone through. Like I've spent time in refugee camps and you wouldn't think that they've gone through hell. But they have, but yet they're so hospitable and amazing. So I'm inspired by a lot of the women that I met in these places.
Well, I love it. And for all of our inspired listeners out there around the planet, be a warrior, be a survivor. Most importantly, dare to dream, dare to explore, dare to live. Natasha, thank you so much for being on Inspired Living Radio. Until our next soul adventure together, be kind, be caring, be compassionate. Make sure to check out Natasha Scripture's book, Manifest. This has been Inspired Living Radio. Have a great rest of your week, everybody. Namaste.